What would you tell that group of individuals if you only had 60 seconds?
My question for them is, do you want to die with that dream? Do you want your dream to be at the graveside? So go for it and take action today.
You are listening to The Weekly Parody, a podcast for unconventional leaders who are dedicated to stepping up, using their voice, and making an impact in this world. Hey, my friend, thank you so much for checking out today's episode. If this is your first time listening, my name is Heather Parody, and I am your host. And I also have a friend here. We have Frizzy Sam Parody, the cat who will not leave my lap. So forgive me if you hear random cat noises. Today, we have a powerful, powerful story. I sat down with Dorit Tadis and heard her story about being a 17-year-old young girl in Ethiopia who was imprisoned and tortured. She ended up escaping the country, came to America, and now started a nonprofit that reaches women in Ethiopia who are being discriminated against, tortured, and are unseen, unheard, and not being taken care of. She's doing this in a variety of ways, from just simple basic needs that they have, and also education and helping them take care of themselves. This is such an incredible story, not only what she personally has been through, but what she has decided to do with her pain and her hurt. I don't know if you've ever thought about using your own story, the things that you've been through, the hardest parts of your story, and using that to make a difference in someone else's life. It doesn't have to be through a nonprofit or public means, but somehow reaching people who are hurting now the way that you have been hurt before. Man, that's hard. That's hard. It's hard for me. I think about it a lot. There's so much in my own life that I'm thinking, Heather, have you really tapped back into that? And are you reaching people and helping people who have been through similar things? We talk about Dorit's story, and we also talk about just some very practical tips of starting a nonprofit. If you've ever thought about starting a nonprofit, man, it's a lot of work, but I don't want that to detour you from jumping in and doing something that's on your heart to do. Dorit shares with us that you don't have to have all the resources. You don't have to have all the knowledge. What you have to have is a passion and something inside of you that stirs and won't let you go. This is a powerful, powerful story, and there are some very tactical tips. But before we get started, if you have not subscribed, head over to iTunes, whatever mobile app you are listening to, hit that subscribe button. And if you've been listening for a little while, enjoy the show. I'd love for you to leave an honest review. All right, let's get into today's episode, hearing about from imprisonment to leading a nonprofit.
Supporting others, I had just a dream since I was young. But coming to United States changed my life and my family life, because the freedom of women that have in this country, the freedom of speech, the freedom of their voices have been heard. They have a freedom of making decision in their family to take action. In my country, women don't have, nobody hear her voice. She has no right to make decision. Even for her own family, her voice is not heard. Children won't go to school, and especially the girls are not being sent to school. The boys, they can walk miles and miles and go to where the school is. Even though there's a challenge, it's more worse for the woman. So this country, freedom that I witnessed, fulfilled my passion and dedication to go back and support those helpless women in my country that they're going through what I went through when I was in prison and what my grandmother went through.
Okay, you just casually said when I was in prison. That's a huge, huge part of your story. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. As I said, I'm from Oromia, Ethiopia. Oromian have been discriminated since late 1880. They were occupied by Abyssinian, and they're still discriminated. I'm one of those who was in prison. I was trying to flee the country because my husband was in prison for 10 and a half years when I met him, and he could not survive because of the pressure that he had. There was no freedom of speech. He was a political activist fighting for human rights. So because of him, we had to run out, but we were arrested at the border. I was kept in the border outside, and I was tortured at the border, and I was also taken to Makalawi prison in Addis Ababa, locked up in a dark room. I was put upside down, tied my eyes, and my body was badly wounded until I lose my conscious. It is just because of Jesus that I survived. I was praying even they were torturing me, and I was speaking my own language. I was told to speak my language because when you are in trouble and suffer, the native language comes from your heart. So I was not allowed to do all that. Anyhow, I was locked up in a dark room and let me join the two mentally unstable women that became mentally unstable because of the torture that they went through. And what of the unexplainable pain that I noticed, experienced, one of the prisoners was pregnant that was tortured and locked up in the same room that I was in. So, yeah, there's no freedom. Today, supporting that a woman in the countryside is bringing healing. Since I did not have a chance to support that pregnant woman in my cell, because I was wounded as well. I couldn't move and she couldn't move.
Now, why were you in prison again?
Yeah, I was trying to flee the country with my husband because we could not live freely in Ethiopia. So we were arrested while we were trying to flee the country.
Wow.
To escape and to save our life.
So is it still that way there where if you try to leave that you'll be imprisoned?
Yes.
Wow. Wow. So how did you finally get out?
That is so amazing. I was the youngest prisoner back then. American Embassy in Human Rights Activist, Amnesty International, was fighting for justice. So I was one of them that American Embassy was asking and following my case. As soon as I got out, I went to American Embassy and asked it to support me. And they already knew who I was in the prison. And they gave me a visa and supported me to come to United States and get help on my body. Yeah.
So how old were you at that point?
I was 17 and a half when I was captured.
How did you mentally handle that as a young woman?
I can say it's only because of Jesus. Being in the dark room with mentally unstable, the other one was just that one of the prisoners was just throwing things on me and on the pregnant lady. Protecting ourselves was so tough. So it's only because of Jesus. In the dark room, you cannot even protect yourself. You don't know what's going to get into, you know, on your body. So it's only Jesus. I cannot say I'm strong. I cannot say there's something. It's Jesus. And also finding a little positive through that challenge. Finding gratitude, you know, that supported me. For example, I was sleeping in a dark room in my, the top of the roof had a little hole and I was assuming that was a star in the sky. I was smiling seeing that part. And one of the prisoners smuggled New Testament hiding in my food. That was the happiest day in my life. People, prisoners showing me their arms saying, be strong. You know, anytime they get a chance, when I go to restroom, they show me, be strong and show me their thumbs up because they went through what I was going through. They know what it looks like. So those things supported me to go through that challenge. All this, I could not get rid of all of the trauma. It comes and goes. And I suffered strongly even after I came to the United States. I still have some trauma, but, you know, that's not going to hold me back to move forward.
Absolutely. And I just acknowledge you for being such a strong leader in a situation, because I know even going through that is one thing, but now you're using your story and your platform to go back and change the lives of other women, which is just incredible. When did you get the idea to start this nonprofit?
The idea is I usually volunteer a lot of places in this country, resettling refugees and finding a job, finding an apartment and all that stuff. But a lot of refugees came and they start supporting themselves. It is time for me to follow God's calling and start a project back home. And I didn't know where to start and how. But one of my husband's friend who was in prison for more than 10 and a half years, his name is Mr. Zagaye Hasfau. He was minister, agriculture minister in Ethiopia. He came to the United States and my husband talked to him and said, my wife is a very strong social worker. Is there any way that she can work with you and support? And then he showed me his project. They have a lot of projects that they work on. And I chose this Debare program because it can be accepted easily in the villages. And also, we have a sponsored child in Uganda. Also, I have adopted child back home. Helping one child is not making a big difference, even though it's making difference, but empowering women can make the difference strongly in the family, in the community. So we picked the empowering woman part and followed that dream in where God called me to do.
Man, now actually getting the nonprofit started up, what kind of barriers did you have starting a nonprofit?
I can tell you, where is your calling? My heart. The first step is just following my heart. And I just went and talked to a lawyer and said, would you help me? I want to establish nonprofit organization. He was asking me what to do and how to write. And I told him, I have the heart and I don't know what to write, to be honest. And he gave me a hint in where is my dream? What do I want to do? He heard what I was trying to do. And then we put it on the paper, what my dream is. And then we asked some people whom we believe that will attract them and they will be an asset to this organization and formed a board members. And then that's how we started. So just talk to a lawyer. I did not have anybody who can support me in the city creating a 501c3. I just jumped in with my husband's support.
Amen. Amen. Just start and do it. You mentioned when we were talking earlier that a lot of people have ideas for things and stuff that they want to do and start, but they're just so afraid to do it. Were you hesitant at first thinking, man, this is such a big undertaking. Can I do this? Is this something I'm equipped to do?
I was like, my hesitation was, I have the heart, but I don't have the knowledge.
Hmm.
And even Mr. Zagaye, I asked him, I want to go back to school and learn something before I start this organization. He said, go for it. So I graduated from Columbus State College with business administration and transferred to Franklin University. I was so eager to start this nonprofit organization. So I completed 2 years program in 1 year from Franklin University and earned my bachelor's degree.
Good for you.
Thank you. So as soon as I graduated, I went back to the countryside to travel to Oromia and to gather data saying, okay, is this compatible? Is it going to be support me? So to answer your question, yes, I had a doubt somewhere saying I don't have a knowledge, I have the heart, but I had to go for it. And after I graduated, what took me behind a little bit, not much, I want to work and earn an income. I don't have money to start. I was in school. I want to work. But God wanted me to say, to start, no, go for it. You know, I had really in my dream, God was showing me, go for it. Do not wait. Do not go to work and kill your time. So the encouragement that I had from God pushed me and supported me to break through that fear.
That's incredible. So you got the nonprofit established. The first couple of years, I know you're only 5 years in. What was it like kind of getting the ball rolling and finding supporters and all of that?
Yes, enrolling people into it, not an easy thing because like people have a fear of supporting a new organization. Mm-hmm. Which direction is going to talk? Which direction is going to take? Is it going to be successful? You know, people have some question in their mind even though they don't say it. So we said, okay, let's just go and start with 3 cows. Let's travel to Oromia. Let's just start with 3 cows and then bring the outcome. So Terry Kirk, one of the co-founder, and myself were ready to travel in 2014 with 3 cows. My family bought one. I bought, my husband bought, and family members bought with friends. We were ready to travel, and people saw that we were very serious. And then they gave us some money, then we can buy 10. We traveled and formed a new community in that countryside and came back with the pictures and showed that encouraged others to be enrolled because you can see women's face that they were not even looking up. They were so down.
Mm.
The picture explained by itself. When they got the cow, they faced up and we noticed change, self-esteem. They felt, I'm human. I exist. Somebody know me. You know, the picture by itself explained that supported us enrolling more supporters. Everywhere I go, I talk about this organization. It's in my heart. When I go to a doctor appointment, when I go to any networking event, when I go to school, when I go to work, even my husband's customer, when I support him, anywhere I just put the word out there. So people love to support and people can hear the voice. You know, the genuinity, the authenticity, the integrity, people feel it.
Yes. I want to point out two things that you said that I think were super important. The first thing you said is at the very beginning, you got behind your mission with dollars and were the first supporters. You bought a cow. You had your family buy a cow. Like, you put your money where your mouth was and actually got behind your mission before anybody else believed it, which is incredible because it shows that you're dedicated. And it also, like you said, it gave a story and a narrative so other people could see, like, oh, look, this is what it's like to provide a cow for these women, and this is the change that happens. And that's incredible. There's that piece. And the second thing you said, which I thought was really good, was that you had so much conviction and belief in your message that you shared it with everyone, that you couldn't stop sharing it and telling people. That's a beautiful thing. What advice would you have for those listening who have their own story and they're wanting to start a nonprofit or some kind of organization to give back and reach back the people who are hurting? What words of advice would you have for them starting their nonprofit and their thing?
My advice is, don't expect from others before you give. Do it first. Give your soul, give your energy, give your money. We don't have to be rich to give. I'm not rich.
Yeah.
We are traveling, voluntarily paying our own expense from here. Not only buying a cow every year, we are covering our expense. Give yourself. When you give yourself, people follow. When you are honest, people follow. When you are authentic and be you,
yes,
people follow you. The integrity, show them what you're doing. Transparency is the key. Let them see what's going on. Give them a picture. Invite them to your meeting. Take them where you go. People want to see what is going on. They want to be part of it. Fear cannot hold you back. You've got to break through and follow your dream.
So good. That's so good. What about when you start feeling, because I know I've experienced this before, where you're super pumped and excited about the thing you're going to start and do, and then a few months in, a couple of years in, the excitement starts wearing down, and it's hard to motivate your team, it's hard to motivate people who are working with you to be as excited and behind the vision like they once were. In those kind of dry seasons where you feel, I don't know, less of the emotion, less of the excitement in it, how do you stay true to your vision then?
The less excitement is when the volunteers say, I want to do this, but then when they don't show up.
Oh, come on.
That, yeah, come on. Wait, you said it and do it. But the outcome and the fruit is always encouraging.
Yeah.
And the idea people brings, for example, when we say we're going to build a water well and we applied to Columbus Rotary for global grant, the Rotary Club members by itself, they took ownership and supported completing even and editing all the application. That is very encouraging. Of course, I cry. Of course, I'm tired. Of course, I don't even know all the grammar, all the grant writing part. Yes, I get tired. But people, supporters can say, yes, how can I do for you? You know, that support motivates me more and take me out of that unmotivated. How do I say it?
Kind of the dry spell. Yeah, the dry spell.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about selecting like board members and getting a team and stuff? What was that like for you?
We have a bylaw that we follow. We welcome or ask board members who has served at least 2 years. Volunteers who just come, like they want to serve when we sell jewelries for fundraising or baskets, or when we have any fundraising event, or when people, they call us at like Bible study group, big, small group, whatever, any size. So they create a group and they invite me to do a presentation. Those people stay in the organization for a year or two. We approach them to be a board member, and then they feel it. They own it. We want them to own it and feel it, and it's their organization. That's how we select board members.
One of the things I thought when you said that you returned back to Ethiopia to give the cows, is it ever hard for you to go back there, or do you feel excited about going back? How do you feel about returning back home?
The first year when I just went to visit family back in 2003, I was nervous.
Yeah.
And then I went back in 2006 to kind of start orphanage. That did not work well. I was a little nervous. But since then, I felt it. I saw more problem going on. It really kept on breaking my heart. And I said, no fear. You know, I broke through. I don't have that fear. I feel excited to go, because every time we go, we see change, growth. We interview the woman. We create more connection with the new beneficiaries, create strengthen our relationship with the local NGO that we work with. It's very exciting. I don't have any fear to go back.
So your family is there?
Yeah, I still have a family. I still have a family. They're brothers, sister, extended families.
Wow.
Go with my group, volunteer group, to my sister's house, my brother. Yeah, very exciting.
So how do they feel about what you're doing now?
They love it. Yeah, a lot of tears because of my grandma and how we grow up. You know, when we talk individually, a lot of tears, a lot of emotion. My adopted child is in the city, close to the city that we support. So she goes to the countryside with me. She's 11 years old now. No, she turned 12 in November. So she supports. We get excited serving others together. Yeah.
That's really cool. So where from here? You're 5 years in. Where do you see this going?
What I see going is right now we have raising fund for animal clinic. We gave about 250 cows already that supported more than 2,000 individuals.
Wow.
And also, you know, the water well I mentioned, that served about 1,000 people. So we want people to support our current project, building animal clinic. We have raised 9,000 so far. We have to achieve our goal soon, end of this year, $25,000. So since I said earlier, we're building a community. So now we have a water well in the community. We are giving cows and earning supporting to earn an income. Now we got to have animal clinic to keep the cows healthier. So we will use this model to the village that we moved to now. We have served 3 villages and working on the 4th one. So we're going to use that model. My big picture is just keep on building animal clinic, keep on giving the cows, keep on having clean water. And school also they're sitting on the floor. You know, especially girls, they have like little dress. When they sit, they're kind of naked and they try struggle covering their part. Having like a chair in the school can't support. So we will just move forward and one thing at a time. So once we complete our animal clinic project, we will move to the next one. So we ask people to join us to accomplish our goal on the animal clinic that we are working on.
Yeah.
So you can donate on our website.
Let me ask you this. There's so many things to do and there's so much work to get done. And I think there's a lot of good people who are hesitating to do good work because they feel overwhelmed with all the stuff that needs to be done. I mean, right now, you know, you said you've been providing cows and there's animal cleaning and there's these chairs for these young girls and there's education, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You probably have a list of things that you want to do. And so what happens often is people feel so overwhelmed with all the work they want to do. They don't know where to begin. They feel so small, especially starting off, that they don't end up doing anything. Can you speak to that?
Yes. Prioritize. Prioritize what is first. What can you do first? How can you save life first? Which one is better? Prioritize it and follow your instruction, like your steps. That will support and accomplish your, once you accomplish it, celebrate your success. Yeah, celebrate your success and then go to the next one. Don't be afraid of all that list that can depress you. You know, put in the list, follow step by step and celebrate your success.
That's so good. That's so good. Where can people connect with you online and donate, get behind you, purchase something? Well, how can they follow you?
Yes, please go to our website, www.cgweafrica.com. We have PayPal there. They can buy a cow.
How much is a cow?
$300 per cow.
Not a lot.
They can give a gift. You know, we have a lot in the house that we don't need. We don't want to buy more. So people want to buy and give just a gift certificate to their family. So buy a cow and sponsor a family. People can sponsor a village. 15,000 can just support a village, you know. So we want people to help us by buying a cow or donate for the animal clinic that we are working on. Our website is just like I said, www.cgweafrica.com. And also email me at cgweafrica@gmail.com. And I am available anytime. I would love to connect with anybody who would like to make the difference in a very poor and helpless woman in the countryside.
So powerful. All of that will be linked up in the show notes, so be sure to check that out. My very last question for you, let's say you were standing in a room with thousands of leaders, okay? These are people who have a calling on their life to do something like you have done, and yet they're hesitating. They're right there on the brink of just about to take action, but they haven't yet done anything, but they do have, they know they have a specific calling on their life. What would you tell that group of individuals if you only had 60 seconds?
Okay. My question for them is, do you want to die with that dream? Do you want your dream to be at the graveside? So go for it and take action today and follow your dream.
Hey, before we go, I just wanted to remind you that Jaridi's website is in the show notes. You can buy a cow for one of these women for only $300. So if that is on your heart, if this message resonates with you, I really, really want to encourage you to connect with her and support this mission. Again, everything is linked up in the show notes, so it's easy to find. Thank you for listening to this week's episode. If you have not subscribed yet, please head over to iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts and hit that subscribe button. And also, if you have a second, leave us a review. Lastly, we have a private Facebook group. If you are looking for a tribe of like-minded leaders who are unconventional in their approach, but dedicated to making an impact, head over to Facebook and type in Unconventional Leaders, and we will be sure to add you. You guys have a great week.